things around. Great. We're going to be talking about idols. Anybody have an idol at home? Maybe you don't know. Maybe you really do. I saw that here, but Peter has another in there. Now, where's that from? Okay. Well, you know, take out your bulletin, your inside sheet. It has two sides, but we'll be looking at most directly this morning the side of the sheet that has Jesus Christ and the idols of our hearts. Jesus Christ and the idols of our hearts. And the other side, we'll be taking a look at some things there that are important for our time in God's Word this morning. Idols. Oftentimes when you and I think, or maybe it's just me, but oftentimes when we think about idols, we think about the Old Testament, right? And the golden calf, you know what I mean? Or some of the other physical manifestations of false gods that are there in the Old Testament. But yet, you see the repetition of warning and danger that idolatry can have in the life of God's people. So it's not just something that the unbeliever is faced with and involved in, but it's something that you and I need to be careful at guarding our own hearts. Today, we see, I remember in Kalimantan, we would have some physical manifestations of idols there amongst the Dayaks. We had what they called the Orang Besi. They were iron men, and they were actually statues made out of ironwood of Dayak men, and they were their idols. Now, praise God for the gospel and the power of the gospel to transform lives and to give them freedom and release and redemption in Christ Jesus from that. There were other things, too, that you would think they were so innocuous. I can remember being called to one village, and they said, great, they have a skull, and it's an idol. It's something that they use for power. And so I went to the chief elder in our area with him to pray with that family and to destroy that idol. And when we got there, it was a piece of skull, no larger than that. And it was a piece from a skull of a head that a member of their family about two generations had taken. And so they kept that, but because the family grew bigger and bigger, that idol, that manifestation of power, if you will, and their worshiping a false god, they broke up the skull and they cast it into different pieces around. And well, this family came to know Jesus Christ and they did not want this idol in their house. And so, you know how long it takes to burn a skull? Long time. We did it. I remember going to the village of Guna. And a fellow was saying after church service, he says, I've got a stone. I have a stone that I want to get rid of. He says, because it's an idol. It's a demon. And he says, I've had it so long. And he says, it's something that gives me influence. Or has. But now that I know Jesus, I don't want this. I went to his house along with the pastor of the local church there in Guna, and it was a stone. It wasn't that large, and nothing special about the stone. But you see how foolish idol worship can be? There's so much in God's word about idolatry. And again, it's not just for the unbeliever, but the warning and danger of idolatry is for us. We see that throughout Paul's writings, too, about the warning of idolatry. And this is in the context of our study together about the sufficiency of our Savior, Jesus Christ. God tells us in his word that through Christ, we have everything we need for life and godliness. Do you believe that? I do. I want to learn more of Christ. I want to experience more of him, don't you? I want to experience more of his sufficiency in my life. More of his fullness in my life, in my marriage, in my family, in God's church family. But you know, sometimes we have idols in our hearts that can impede and hinder experiencing the fullness and sufficiency of Christ in our lives. And so this morning it's very important that we take a look at the idols of our heart from God's Word. So join with me first in prayer. Father God, we come to you in Jesus' name. We're looking, Father, to you and with grateful hearts for your grace, abounding grace, and abundant life in your Son, Jesus Christ. To all who have put their faith and trust in Christ alone, Father, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are sufficient for all of our needs, for life and godliness. Lord, we want to guard our hearts. We want you to examine our hearts. For we confess that we are prone to make idols in our hearts, even of things that are seemingly good, because those things displace our devotion to you and rob us of that joy and a greater sufficiency in your fullness in our lives. So Lord, guide us, we pray, as we look into your word, may it come alive to our hearts. For your glory, in your name we pray, amen. You have your outline before you. Jesus Christ and the idols of our hearts. Another title for this could be, because we'll be taking a look at two pictures. Don't you like pictures? I sure do. I'm kind of a visual person. And sometimes we see pictures in words. And so we're looking at two pictures with regard to the idols of our hearts and what we need to do to experience greater and greater of the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. Leaving broken cisterns and finding fulfillment in the spring of living water. That would be a subtitle of this message this morning. Of course, you remember the Ten Commandments, and certainly right in the very beginning of the Ten Commandments is that you shall have no other gods before me. And the Lord was talking about idols, not just physical manifestations, but also, if you will, those things in our hearts, the attitudes, the desires, the lusts, the things that we put in place of God. And so he's saying, you shall have no other gods before me, both outside your life and both inside your heart. And then, of course, 1 John, if we think that that was only the Old Testament, there's so many verses that we could look at in the New Testament, too, that refer to idolatry and the danger and the warnings that God gives us in this word to believers, not to unbelievers, but to the saved. So we are all prone to do that. In fact, I think it was John Calvin that said, our hearts are idol factories. You know, we get rid of one, and all of a sudden we're making another. And so we need to guard our hearts, because it says here, it's out of our hearts that the wellspring of life comes. And it's in our hearts that we begin to see and experience the sufficiency and the abundant life of Jesus Christ. So we understand and we know for sure by experience, not just by head knowledge, but by experience, that Christ is sufficient for life and godliness. Take a look at Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 14, your verse before you. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, these men have set up idols in their hearts. Now they had many manifestations, physical manifestations of idols throughout that area, throughout that amongst God's people. But he's talking about the idols of their hearts. And so we too have that same potential, that same danger. But wicked and put wicked stumbling blocks before their faces. Should I let them inquire of me? Boy, what a damning verse. Even for God's people today. There's at least three things we see here that it's possible to have idols in our hearts too. Whatever they may be. And again, they could be good things. They could be your family that God has blessed you with, but it becomes something in your life that has displaced the priority of Christ in your life. We'll be looking more specifically at the different, basically four categories that idols fall into. But notice, it's not something you set on the shelf. Easy, just wipe it off. But idols that we set up in our hearts. Another thing is they become a stumbling block to us, morally and spiritually. Not only for us, but if there are idols in the hearts of the parents, they become stumbling blocks morally and spiritually for the children. Then there's something else too that we see here. We see that prayers are hindered. Sometimes we wonder, why isn't God answering our prayers? Maybe it's because we have idols in our hearts. that could be. Same principle applies today. God is being displaced. Take a look, if you will, just a brief description and definition. An idol is anything or anyone apart from God that we depend on to be happy, secure, or fulfilled. Now, there are many things that we enjoy and give us happiness and give us some sense of, if you will, fulfillment. But if that becomes the center of our hearts, the core of our soul, that has become an idol. In the biblical context, it is something other than God that we set our hearts on and desires. We'll look at that in James shortly. And that motivates us, that masters and rules us. We can't serve many masters. There's only one master you and I and the church is to serve, and that is Jesus Christ. Do you agree with that?
Amen.
Amen. And so God says, beware, guard your heart, for out of it flow up and overflow the springs of life. But idols can become those dams in our hearts and stop that flow. Or that we trust in or fear or serve. In short, it is something or someone we love and pursue in the place of God. There are three questions that we need to ask. You might want to write these down. I'm sorry I didn't have room to put in the outline there. Three questions. What have I been willing to commit sin for in order to get that? What have I been willing to commit sin for in order to get that? Whatever that is. And it might be a good thing. I meet people every day that are doing sinful things to get good things. Does that make that good thing any better? No, it doesn't. Second question. What have I been willing to sin over if I don't get it? What have I been willing to sin over if I don't get it? You see, an idol is so compelling and so influencing us that even a Christian with idols in the heart, we sin to hold on to them. We sin to get them. Third question. What must I have to be happy, safe, satisfied, comfortable, and fulfilled? If it doesn't begin with Jesus Christ, we need to guard our hearts and root those idols out, even as a church. Even as a church. Let me just share with you very quickly. There are four categories that idols fall into. Four categories. There are power idols. That might be control. Some people, you know, you've called them, and I'm sure I've called them too, they're control freaks. You know who they are, don't you? Now that's an idol. That's an idol of power. Having power over circumstances and events and situations, even having power over people, that becomes an idol. Some of the conflict within churches is a power struggle because there are power idols in the hearts of people. Another is position, and going along with that particular category of a power idol, influence. People love to influence other people. Why? Because sometimes it's an idolatry in their heart to influence other people, so they think and act just like them. Success. Some of the symptoms of this category of idol. The person has to be in a position of power all the time, is demanding, wants a final decision, thwarts other leaders, and bursts of anger. Those are some of the symptoms of having an idol or an idolatry of a heart with regard to power. That's one category. Another category would be approval. That's a very strong idol in the hearts of many here in our culture. Idol of approval. Things that are related to that, if you will, that category of idolatry is having relationships. I only choose my relationship where I feel that I'm being approved, where I'm being praised. Achievement, appearance. What are some of the symptoms of idolatry in that category? Takes criticism or failure very badly. Finds it hard to relax. Is proud or envious. Desires always to be included in everything. Craves recognition. And those are some of the symptoms of the idolatry of that category. Another category, security idol. I know some people that will do anything to have a sense of security, even at the expense of their family. In that category of idolatry, family comes up. Some people find security, ultimate security, in their family. Some people find security in their finances alone. Some people find security in other types of protection. Some people find security in religion. Not a relationship, but a religion. That's one area, one category of idolatry, is security. Symptom of that is overbearing, inflexible, impatient, irresponsible, highest weaknesses. Another category, the fourth category, is the idol of comfort. The idol of comfort. I want to be comfortable. I want to be served. I want to be ministered to. And sometimes that idol of comfort enters into our experience of worship. Well, what's in it for me? I don't really feel good when I leave church. How come? I'm going to go to another church. Because I really want to feel great. Well, maybe that's an idol in your heart that's displacing the supremacy and the sufficiency of Christ in your life. Because God does give joy. He does give satisfaction. He does give fulfillment. He does give abundant life. Amen? Idols. They can hinder us from experiencing the full sufficiency of Christ in our lives. Take a look at your outline before you. We have James chapter 4, verses 1 and 3. This is directly tied into the idolatry of the heart. For what causes fights and quarrels? Now, mind you, James is writing to born-again believers. He's writing to a church. Like our church. Southbound Bible Church. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires? That's associated with idolatry of the heart. The desires, the lusts, the longings that we have. Desires of an idol become demands of an idol. Demands of an idol become, if you will, the judgments of others because they're not also helping you sacrifice to your idol. And that judgment of others and even of ourselves turns into a punishment because every idol needs a sacrifice. And sometimes people sacrifice their families, their marriages, relationships. Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet. Mind you, he's writing to Christians. I think he's speaking metaphorically, but that sometimes has happened. Murder. Coveting. But you cannot have what you want. Why? You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. I go back to that Ezekiel. A passage when he's talking about idols in the heart and the question that the Lord has. He says, should I let them inquire of me? Shall I let them pray to me that I might give them the petitions of their heart and supplications of their life? When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives that you might spend what you get on your pleasures, on your idols. Two pictures. Come with me in your outline. Idols are like broken cisterns. They never fulfill. They never quench. They never satisfy. Just like a broken cistern. You go there and think you're going to get quenching, cool water, and it's empty. Take a look at this verse we have in Jeremiah. My people have committed two sins. Oh, what are they? They have forsaken me, that's the first sin, and the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Now, I don't think the Lord is talking about here, through his servant Jeremiah, that they were just digging cisterns in the ground, but they were building idols in their heart, like broken cisterns. They were empty, unfulfilling, unsatisfying. Notice, if you will, idolatry always causes a twofold sin. Idolatry in our hearts and our lives will always cause a twofold sin. The first sin is that we forsake God. I don't need you. I'll call you when I need you. I can do better. First sin, forsaking God. Second sin, raising up an idol in our lives. A broken sister that will never satisfy, never fulfill, never meet that need. Only God can. That goes along with, if you will, the dynamic of the New Testament for the Christian today. Put off, put on. It's twofold. And dealing with idols in our hearts, we need to put off, but we need to put on. We need to replace that. We need to replace that with the supremacy and the sufficiency of Christ, the centrality of Christ in our life, in our marriage, in our family, and in His church. Because we often have idols. Maybe you have idols in your heart right now. I don't know. But God knows. And He doesn't want them there. We've got a number of points with regard to the broken cisterns and idols in our heart. Serving them only produces broken promises, broken lives, and broken relationships. That's what happens. That's the consequence. Those are the results of serving the idols of our hearts, the desires and lusts of our hearts, seeking only the pleasures. And again, we can make something good that God has given to us and God has graced us with, and we can make that an idol. Maybe a marriage, maybe our family, maybe our job, whatever that may be, or our possessions, our time. Well, I have my time, Lord. I'll give you your time on Sunday morning from 10:30 to 11:45. You see, serving them only produces broken promises, broken lives, and broken relationships. What are you willing to sacrifice for your idols? What relationships? What blessings? There are empty and bring an emptiness into our lives. They will never satisfy. Idols are always self-deceiving, self-serving, and self-destructive. The idols of Israel destroyed their relationship with Jehovah. The idols of Israel destroyed their place in the land of promise. Think of that. How much they were willing to sacrifice for their idols. They bring conflict and strife within and without. That's what James is talking about. The desires, lust within our hearts, seeking to please ourselves according to the desires of our idols. They bring conflict and strife within and without. Idols of the heart inherently, listen to this, idols of our heart will inherently, especially in the life of the believer, because we are a child of God and we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. But even as a child of God and indwelt by the Holy Spirit, we can have idols in our hearts in the very depth of our soul, and they will inherently bring conflict. That's what an idol does. It's not in tune or in harmony with the will of God. It doesn't want to bring, if you will, a life into obedience to the Word of God. Just the opposite. Inherently, an idol of the heart will always produce conflict, corruption, and chaos in life. They become motives and desires behind sinful behavior. Fourthly, the character of our lives are dominated and shaped by the idols of our heart. The character of our lives are dominated and shaped by those idols. In fact, very explicitly it says in Psalms that those who worship idols, not just those outside in the shell, but those inside of the heart, those who worship idols become just like them. When you know our Heavenly Father, He wants you and me as His child to become just like Jesus. But if we bow down, we honor, we sacrifice to the idols of our heart, we become just like them. So what does that mean? Again, don't be thinking of the golden calf. Don't be thinking of some little stone or something like that, like in Kalimantan. But if we have the idols of covetousness, our character, our life will be dominated by greed. And all that we will do in relationships and life itself will be again. We become like the idol. Another picture, praise God. There's a better picture. Aren't you glad there's a better picture? Yeah, look what the better picture is. Coming to Christ daily for the living water is leaving the idols. Look what Jesus says. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become to him, in him a spring of a water welling up to eternal life. What a beautiful picture. The Lord spoke to a heathen, to a non-Jew, to a Samaritan woman that no Jew would talk to or even be near, but the Lord had love for her and desire to save her soul. And he offered to her that spring of living water, that gift of eternal life, of relationship with him. But this is instructive for you and I today, who have also received the Lord and that gift of eternal life and know that spring of living water. Take a look at this passage. He says, you'll not thirst. If you find your sufficiency in Christ, and that doesn't mean, beloved, please, don't mistake and say, oh, Bill Gray's against all joy of everything. No. Yes, good things can become idols, but good things that God gives us, they fit into the place of our lives as God has intended them. If God has given you the gift of marriage, don't make it an idol, but thank God for the gift. He's the giver. Every good and perfect gift comes from our Father above. We look to the gift. We honor the Creator, the giver, not the gift and creation. Do you understand what I'm saying? If we have a family that God has given to us, praise God, but don't make that an idol. See it in the priority of what God has for you as a parent that will glorify him, that will please him as you first honor God. And in honoring God, being that godly parent, being that godly wife, being that godly husband, being that godly child, being that godly member in the body of Christ. You understand what I'm saying? Is it clear? I'm not saying that we can't enjoy those things. We do. Whatever we eat or drink or whatever we do to the what?
Glory
of God. But don't make those things idols. Your occupation, your position, whatever it may be. The cluster of control, the cluster of approval, security, or whatever it may be. We need to recognize them, because they will dam up our hearts and our souls, that we will not have that free flow of the living water, welling up into our lives, that we can be a blessing then to our spouses, to our families, to God's people. What a beautiful picture the Lord has here. And the first in giving this picture, he gave it to a heathen Samaritan. It shows how much he loves you and I. As a believer, as a child of God, as a born-again believer, there's so many who are saying, I need this relationship, Lord. And I don't care what you say in your word. I need this relationship. That relationship has become an idol. It has led us away from God. And is it any wonder that that relationship is rocky? Well, it may not happen right now, but there will never be that soul, that heart, that life, fulfillment, and satisfaction. And if you're here this morning, and you've been saying that about a relationship outside of the will of God, let me ask you right now, how is that working out for you? And I'll ask you 10 years from now, how is that working out for you? You see, if we are a child of God,
God will never, never, never let the idols of our lives bring glory to Him, bring praise to Him. And our lives are most satisfied when we delight and bring glory to God. Next passage. On the last and great day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty," are we thirsty, brothers? Are we thirsty, sisters? Are we thirsty for the fullness of Jesus? Are you? Are you? Or have you allowed the idols of your heart to in a counterfeit way, give you some measure of satisfaction, fulfillment, pleasures of sin just for a season? If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he means the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, whom those who believe in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12. This is one of the many scriptures that Jesus is referring to, as the scriptures have said. Isaiah chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. If you're using the Pew Bibles, on page 687. Take a look at verse 2 and 3. It's talking about that living water. Do you have it? Do you have it? If you have Him, you have it. And He is intended to satisfy our lives. Yes, and He does give blessings. He does give good things, but they're not to be idols. We're to honor Him and glorify Him and use those things and enjoy those things and praise God for those things, because He gifted us and graced us with that. Amen? Isaiah chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. Surely God is my salvation. Can you say that this morning? Can you say that? God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. I don't have to be afraid about not being approved by others. I don't have to be afraid about not having security in the things that I think I have security in, because God is my security. God is the one who has approved me in Jesus Christ. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Praise God! Are you there? Are you there? Or have you allowed the idols of your heart, your soul, to so hinder and impede that wonderful flow of the living water to fill your life, to satisfy you in Christ Jesus, that you can also bring others to that same living water? The Lord is my strength and my song. Beloved, God has put such a song in the hearts of those are being filled. And that song and joy is so attractive, to those who are empty and broken cisterns inside. No satisfaction, no fulfillment. But the satisfaction in Jesus Christ gives a song, gives a strength, gives a joy. With joy, He has become my salvation. With joy, He will draw waters from the wells of salvation. Beloved, we can't draw satisfaction from our idols that we are trying to sacrifice to, time, resources, relationships, whatever. Because idols demand a sacrifice. We can't enjoy that and enjoy what God wants to give us in His Son. With joy, you will draw waters from the wells of salvation. God's people are joyful in the Lord. Amen? Yeah. What's the answer? The answer is found in your sheep on the other side. On the other side. Next, right there in the middle, you have a number of verses that are emboldened. We want to take a look at Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24.
I'd like for you to later on mark that out in your Bible. David is just overwhelmed with the character and the attributes of God. He's overwhelmed with the presence of God. He's overwhelmed the fact that God created him as God and his intended, and that God was blessing him. But David also realized he could also have idols in his heart. So he's saying these things, these verses. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there are any grievous ways in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Why? Because David wanted to have his heart, his soul, constantly, daily, refreshed, revived with that spring of living water. I believe he experienced it. I don't think it was just the New Testament saints of David experienced it. God is gracious, and God overflows his grace into the lives of his people. But he will hold them back if we're holding on to those idols in our hearts. Ask the Lord, here are the sheep before you. Ask the Lord these questions. I won't go through them. There's some questions that we need to ask ourselves, together with the Lord. And then, on your sheep before you, repent. See the idol for what it is. For what it is, it's sin. Turn to God from that idol. The only way we can put off is that's where we begin. Repenting. Confess. Agree with God about it. Yes, Lord, it's sin. It's dominating my life. Lord, it's shaping the character of my life. Lord, it's destroying relationships in my marriage. It's destroying relationships in my family. It's destroying relationships in Christ's body, the church. Lord, it's sin. I acknowledge it is. I agree with you, Lord. I repent. I confess. I ask him to remove it and replace it with a greater love. You see, when the idol is removed, God never wants a vacuum in your heart, in your life, in my heart, in my life. When he removes it, replace it with a greater love, a greater delight, and a greater satisfaction in him. Amen? And then worship and serve him as you live out the gospel every day of your life. Simple. It's so simple. Isn't it? And yet it's so hard at times to do, because we have allowed the idols of our heart to so dominate, so influence, so shape us that we hold on to them. Well, Lord, can I just keep the little one? Lord, I won't do much with this little one, Lord, but can I just keep this little one? No. No, it's all. It's all got to go. Whatever that idol is. Because you see, our Heavenly Father loves us so much. And Christ loves us so much. And the Holy Spirit loves us so much. That all three who indwell the believer's life wants every one of us to experience, to enjoy, and to rejoice in the fullness of Christ's satisfaction. He is everything we need for life and godliness. Would you join me with me in prayer? Father God, we confess to you, Lord, our hearts are not only prone to wander, and Lord, we feel it, but Lord, our hearts are prone to manufacture idols, wrong desires, misplaced desires, lust, sinful pleasures that we seek to fulfill, idols of comfort, of security, of approval, whatever that may be. And Lord, we confess that sometimes we've taken good things you've given to us and we've made idols of them that have displaced you, Lord Jesus. Forgive us. Forgive us as a church. As a church family, and sometimes we have raised up idols that have caused conflicts, division,
anger. Lord, cleanse our hearts for your glory and for your fullness in your church and our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.